Good evening. This is the first voting meeting of the Tompkins County Expanded Budget Committee for the 2017 budget, and you have before you several things. There was a request last evening from Loveland and about living wage attainment. Joe produced a five-page document and a 10-slide PowerPoint, and there was some other request, five-year history of the general fund that was asked for, or it was given, and Sheriff Road Patrol, civil adopted budgets and salaries and things like that. Did I miss anything, Kevin?
I think that's it, Jim.
Okay, and let me revive the rules or reprise the rules the way this all operates. And I will read directly from our own set of rules. For the purpose of making recommendations to the proposed Tompkins County budget and capital program, the budget committee shall be expanded, that's us, to include all legislators. A quorum shall consist of a majority of the whole legislature, and decisions shall be made by a majority of those in attendance at any given meeting. And are there any questions about that? Are there any people, legislators, who are going to make amendments, and the amendment or the department head that they're making an amendment for is not going to be able to be here in the order that we may do them? Is there anyone who might be, you know, wants to keep their amendment to a later time when their department head shows up? Carol.
Well, he may get here in time, but Ken Schlaughter said he had a board meeting tonight. So he'll get here around 7:15.
Okay. Well, if he's not around when we get there, we'll hold that off until he gets here. Joe, do you need to say anything? Anyone else?
Oh.
Martha.
Were we going to talk for a minute about some of the other documents here, like the fund balance and the talk a little bit about the overtime?
Are we going to talk about them? I don't know. Do we? I guess if you have a question, they're readable. What's the question you have?
Well, I want to thank Kevin and Joe for putting the information together. So I'm looking at the five-year history on the general fund balance. So what is up on the, it says that below the table, applied in the 2016 budget, that means in the current year we've used $1.5 million.
Kind of. It means that when you put together the 2016 budget this time last year, you appropriated some money out of fund balance to cover in 2016. So when you look at the 2015 fund balance, that is as of December 31st, 2015. So you drew some money out for the 2016 budget, and there are additional amounts that have been proposed to be drawn out for the 2017 budget. That's what those notes mean.
All right. And do you have any sense of why from 2014 to 2015 it jumped so much?
Rick can tell you better than I, but much of it at least is in DSS. There were some, whether recoveries or differences between revenues and expenses that occurred in DSS, was it $3.5 million? Was in one department in DSS. So much of it can be attributed to that.
So the sort of actual numbers came out $3.5 million better than we expected in Social Security.
Okay. And some of that, that was a fair amount of money. Some of it is kind of the catch-up factor in the way revenues and expenses work there. They spend money today. They may not get it back in the same fiscal year. Some of it's that. Some of it is a pure savings.
All right. Thank you very much.
Joe, Dooley, and then Dan, and then me. Go ahead, Dooley.
You mentioned what we would find on our desk. I did not find any SWAT history.
I don't think that's been secured yet. That was, I know the sheriff's office is trying to get that through IPD, and they've been unable to do that.
Dan.
Yes, you asked if there were any department heads that weren't here. And even though I didn't sponsor this one, I happened to talk to the election inspectors today, and they are otherwise occupied. But I naively said that we could probably do it without them.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Joe, I have one question. On the sheet that talks about the applied in 2016 budget from the fund balance, you have a $1.5 million. Year over year, I mean, is there an amount we – is that a close amount to what we have to do every – or annually bringing forward?
We've chosen to do it. The good news about that is it wasn't that long ago where money was being drawn out of the reserves and was being used to pay for ongoing recurring expenses. That's obviously a problem the legislature has recognized. The good news about the draws is it's been about this level, 1.1 million to 1.5 million over the past few years, but we've tried to be very careful in tying these one-time revenues to one-time expenses, capacity building, capital equipment, things like that. That's where the 1.378 in one-time is for this year.
Good. I think, you know, it's good history for all of us to remember that. All right, let's go here. Number one, I have Martha Robertson and Mike Lane. It's OTR 15. It's the county attorney. It's $1,000. Someone want to move it? Martha moves. Mike seconds. Anyone want to talk about it? All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, if any. One opposed. That passes.
So,
do we need to have a count? Let me just see how many people are here. All 14 of us are here now. There were 13 people that voted on that. 12 voted affirmative and one voted against. Item number two, Dooley Kiefer, OTR 62, Tompkins County Public Library, funds for the addition of a technology librarian expense, $82,000. Dooley, you want to move that?
Yes, I'd like to.
Is there a second for that? Peter Stein. Discussion.
They have needed this additional librarian every year in the last few years. They will need a person with particular expertise in technology sometime in the next year, but they need the position now. And I hope that we will listen to the public that came and spoke to us yesterday and support this.
Any other discussion? We'll go right up the row. Mike, please put your hands up again and so I make sure I get everybody. Mike, and then somebody else over here.
As you can see,
Leslin. Carol, you're going to wait. Martha, go ahead, Mike.
As you can see in the next line, I also support this, but at a halftime level, because we are putting money into the library this year to bring the target money to bring the remainder of the deficit up. And so I think this might be enough that we could justify doing a halftime position. So I'll move that we amend Dooley's to halftime.
Is there a second for that? Leslin? Discussion about going from one full to half. Martha?
I agree. I'm really sympathetic to this request, but I'm also kind of a little nervous. I asked for the Sheriff's Department information because that's a big question to me, and that's those are some pretty big numbers that I'm afraid we're going to have to deal with on target funding. And so I really don't want to – I wasn't ready to make a proposal yet until I saw the numbers that we got tonight or today. But I want to kind of hold back until we see how things go. So I don't want to, at this point, put the full-time position in. I just – nervous. If things work out wonderfully and, you know, we can figure out everything else without going too far over Joe's budget, then I might come back to this as full-time, but right now I'm only ready to do half-time.
Anyone else? Talking about the half-time position. Excuse me? Peter?
Yes. I'm going to vote for the full-time position. I'm absolutely convinced that this is an extremely important thing for jobs, that people be able, that people who do not have the background in technology be able to learn and produce for it. And that's, I think, probably what our biggest problem is in not being able to find jobs. So I'm willing to bet on the whole thing.
Okay, but this is a discussion of the halftime move that Mike made and was seconded.
I'm against it. I'm saying I'm against what.
Okay. Mike Ziegler.
I just have to say I'm against this as a halftime position. I'm against this as a full-time position. This seems to me, an internal issue. I mean, when Kathy's been here, 20 years, every time technology advances, she has to learn something new, and same as every department. You know, when we install something new in assessment, they have to learn new computers. And what we're saying here now is, well, the librarians that are there right now, they have learned some of the new technology, but that's not enough. We need to add somebody else. It seems to me that, yes, the library has advanced. The people we are hiring are going to have different skills. We don't have to go out and hire somebody just to add to the library. It just doesn't really make any sense to me. We're literally adding another librarian. It doesn't matter that it's a technology. We can cloak it in any name you want to cloak it in, but that doesn't make any sense to me. If you want to add a librarian, just add a librarian, but I would be against that. If we were just to say, okay, we're going to hire a new librarian at the library, I would say, well, why? Did something happen? Did our population grow up so much that we're getting that many more visits to the library that we need a new librarian? The answer would be no to those questions. So I guess the question for me is, why are we adding somebody else to the library? A librarian, too, not a stacker, not a... Thank you.
Okay. We're going to come right up the row. Anna?
Just in direct response to that, I don't know if you recall in the presentation by the librarian, the head of the
Friends.
Both, actually, thank you, Board of the Friends of the Library, as well as the director, gave us numbers specifically outlining that over the last couple of years they've had a reduction in staff from 49 to 42. So they've stripped down to the absolute bare bones of the working staff that they have, and now they're literally physically expanding their facility. And one of the comments that she made was, I literally don't have the human beings to put that I have in my list that I'm supposed to be staffing at certain times, and now we're literally adding an entire component, physical component of the library and resources. So if we could cut people in half, as human beings, maybe possibly, but I think her point that I appreciated was, I'm expanding my resources, I'm expanding my services, and I am at the same time stripped down to the bare bones with my personnel. So that was appealing to me, and the public's appeal for how much this facility, before it's even built, the demand that has already been established for it, to me says there's need for a personnel to staff it. The other piece is that it's not learning one software or learning one new program. This is someone who is an expert in any of the technological needs that will be evaluated and used as services in that facility, which could be an entire suite of services. People spend master's programs becoming experts in a suite of services that we would then be able to support for this. So I don't think that it's as simple as one program that we're mastering at a time, which God knows we've all had to do, and it's painful enough. So I am in support of either a half-time or a full-time position, whatever the full group is willing to support.
Yeah, let me remind you, we're talking about a half-time right now. Anyone else on this side of the room? And then we'll come over here. Will, Carol, and I think Julie over here.
So
Anna, back to Mike.
So Anna made a lot of my points, and if I recall correctly, usage is up, our population is up, but usage of the library has tracked and has been going in exactly the opposite direction, even as staffing has been down. And if you don't believe that, just walk in on literally any day and just look at people sitting at the computer stations. It is a critical community service. The library has identified they would like a technology specialist, and I hope we can do it full time. I do have a question for Joe, though. In the unfortunate event that we can't fund a full time, is there a basis for doing a half-time on target and half-time as a one-time? Can we do that?
Could you do that mechanically? Of course. You could, yes.
Yes. I mean, is there a policy in terms of funding?
No, I think the only policy is very unwritten and very informal. And we've tried to refrain from using one-time money to support recurring salary. Ongoing things,
yeah.
Salaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's it. Mechanically, it can be done.
Thank you.
Carl Chalk.
So first, can you refresh my memory on our process here? So can we make amendments to an amendment? This is an amendment to the budget.
Yeah.
Okay, so should somebody want to amend that to a different amount, they could. And then tell me what happens if I wish we were doing this separately, voting on the full thing, and then if we weren't doing the full thing, then coming back and discussing the half. Yeah. So if this comes in as full and then it's voted down, can I still bring my next motion there that would be the half, or we've done it?
That's what's on the table, Carol. The half, the full has been amended to half.
Yeah, I understand that, but I've got an entry here next, number 3, that's doing a half. The danger here for me is that I vote to increase it to a full time, and then the whole thing gets voted down, and I'd rather see a half than none. So that's what I'm trying to get at here.
We are voting on half now.
I understand.
Karen, you can ask.
The vote we're going to take is on the halftime position.
Okay. So just for myself, if I were doing the budget all by myself, I would support a full-time position. I think we need it. They've been making the case for 5 years now for us at their annual meetings, including with pictures of people and I think videos of people and how much they do. And this isn't somebody needing on-the-job training, although it might include that. It's people, it's kids after school. It's people who have no way to apply for a job without getting helped to use, taught how to use a computer and access the online applications. It's the only way to apply, and other services. It's Paul's 97-year-old mother, who I wish lived here, but who went to her library, her local library, to learn how to get pictures of the grandkids. It's it's things like that. It's not whether we give Kathy on-the-job training. I put it in as halftime because I have a lot of things on here. I kept the total. I agonized them, and I kept the total of things I was proposing to actually under 0.25% on the levy. So I think I'm with Martha. At this point, I would bring it to halftime, but then I'd be willing to be the one to put it on my list for next week when we see where we stand for the other half. So I think that I support that.
I understand. Duly.
I see Susan Curry in the audience. Would it be acceptable to ask her to explain more clearly, probably so Mike Sigler gets a better understanding of what the position is for?
No, I don't think. But I would ask her. She's full-time. She can come and talk to it. But I don't think Mike. I mean, I'm just talking for Mike, but I don't think he. I think he understands what the issue is.
Well,
Mr. Chair, I actually was going to ask for a little more explanation.
All right. Well, go ahead, Susan. Right there. Either there or at the desk, whatever you want there.
There. Okay. So you'd like an explanation more of what the position would do?
I whatever Dooley asked.
Okay. So all librarians are experts in technology, and they are serving that need right now one-on-one at a service desk. But we have more people coming in for needs for not just technology training, but the entire world has shifted in terms of technology. And we now live in a knowledge economy, something that I use all the time. So if you think about just how the ways that your life has been impacted by technology. We have people coming in who bring us their smartphone and say, can you show me how to use this? can you help me download the next version of the software? So, and we're actually putting in a new service point, which would have a classroom setting, so that instead of having to do this one-on-one at the reference desk, we would be able to do it in a classroom setting and reach more people. We would be able to partner with TST BOCES, because the GED high school equivalency is online only. So you could have a class where you could have everybody learning the online GED system and taking it. You would be able to have our long-distance learning test proctoring, where people come in and they're taking a class, say, from a university in another state. That has gone up. That service has gone up over 100% in the last 2 years. So people come and they need a certified test proctor, which is a librarian, to give them a test at a computer. We're doing it one-on-one. Think what we would be able to do for people if we had a classroom setting. There are new technologies, 3D printers, that are pretty prevalent. We're a little bit behind in this community in terms of offering these services to the community. They're fairly standard in high school libraries now, and many university libraries. So being able to teach people about these new technologies, because they're not going away. I mean, 3D printer is an example, but it's not going to go away. So being able to teach people about the new technologies in a classroom setting would be a great benefit to our community. And our community is telling us that they want this. So we have a new service point and no one to staff it. In fact, the staff I have now, because we've lost 7.6 FTE during the recession, the staff I have now, if someone's sick, we can't cover service points because we're spread out. We expanded our hours to meet the state mandate of 60 hours. We didn't add staff. Everybody got together. We figured it out, but we're maxed out.
Thank you.
I can always share with you great information about the library. And I know libraries are seen as, you know, it's not just another librarian. I understand how that appears. I think that that is a kind of an old-fashioned way of maybe looking at libraries, because the librarians now do have to help people with a wide variety of things.
I think that's a good explanation. Now we're back to Mike Sigler.
I have to tell you, I get all that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to direct this to you, because I think it was wrong for them to even ask you this. I get it. That's not my problem here. My problem is this legislature has sold for the last 3 years that this was going to be a self-sustaining library. And yet now we're not doing that. We're saying, no, we're going to make this library even bigger. And I went along with it for 3 years. When you guys, when the Finger Lakes group moved out of the library and we had that extra space, we said, okay, we're going to redo this space. We're going to make the library even bigger. So we're going to make it even less sustainable than it was before. We were having problems before, so we're going to make it bigger. What company does that? Nobody does that. But I said, you know what? All right, if you guys say you can handle this, great. We're going to go along this path. Instead of going out and looking for a tenant, and I would have been on board. If we had gone out and found a tenant for that who was renting it, I would have said, you know what? Let's not put that in the general fund. Let's put that in the library fund. That would have made sense to me. But no, we decided not to do that. We're going to make the library even bigger. And everything that's come before this legislature to make the library better, I've said, okay, you want to put a police presence down there because you got too many guys hanging out in front of it? Okay, great. You know, the city actually kicked in on that. So now we're going to do a librarian, too. And is the city here helping us out? No. I don't know. They're not here. Is Carol, you wince. Are they here? No, they're not here. Because they don't look at it like you guys do. And the town of Ithaca, I'm sorry. Yes, we can say that everybody goes to the library, and that is true. But let's face facts. It's in the city. All right? It's a meeting place in the city. And they're not helping us out with it, like, to the extent that we're suggesting here. And, yes, Lansing did treat its library seriously. They took a vote. We draw money out of the schools now to do that. We go and seek out extra money. I see Gutenberg out there kicking it to get more money into that library all the time. So I understand. A lot of people do support this library, but you've worked, you know, we promised voters that we were going to make this sustainable. And this is just one more example. When they look at this, they're going to go, okay. You guys really weren't all that serious. You weren't serious about making it sustainable because now you're adding more people. I just don't understand it, really. So I'm all for it. If the library gets other revenue sources, I mean, I'm for putting a cage over the thing and letting them build up, and then we can rent more space in that area. You know, if you could come up with a building design. We've actually talked about that, or at least I've heard people talk about that. So, you know, I want to support the library, but you guys are making it really hard to do that. So, thank you.
Mike Lane.
I'll pass. I've said my piece.
Peter Stein.
Yeah, I'd like to give my own perspective on this. It's very hard to live a life today without being able to work electronics and go through computers. I'm fortunate enough to have an office at Cornell where any time I get into a trouble, there's a number I can call up, and they'll sit on the line with me for as long as it takes to figure that out to go ahead. I don't have to leave. That's a tremendous advantage. If I didn't have that, I don't know what I'd do. I'd call up somebody I know, and it just wouldn't work right. I think that most people don't have that particular opportunity. And it seems to me that that's what we're doing. We're giving people that live in this area a chance to get expert help on software problems when they need it. And I think that's very important. Very important to me personally that I have that.
I have Leslin and then Carol.
My esteemed colleague across the way got me all riled up over here. So I had to eat my Kit Kat to calm myself down for a minute.
Too early.
Okay, his Kit Kat. See how bad it is? I'm even eating his candy.
Well, there's some more back there in the drawer.
At any rate, I did want to hear from Susan because I didn't understand what that position was doing, so it was not directed at you. Let's just be clear about that. Mike, I am not sure what you're talking about when you start talking with you guys and what you guys didn't do, because I don't recall you bringing forward a suggestion of any tenants for the library. So, no, all of us are in this boat. So I feel like you're pointing fingers at everybody else when none of us did bring forward any tenants or anything. I don't even recall that discussion. I have been tentative about this, because I wanted to hear more about what it is going to be doing. So to get that information, Susan, thank you very much, gives me a better sense. Do I want to? I have probably been the lone legislator sitting over here who has more often than not voted against new things for the library, except for the structural deficit, because I know we needed to do that, partly because of some of what you said. But I don't want us to go down that road about what the city or the town isn't doing, because we are not going to like it when they come back at us and say what we're responsible for and we're not doing. So let's be careful with that. That's all I got to say.
Carol and then Martha.
Yeah, I don't want to say a whole lot. I just want to not leave the whole urban-rural question that Mike has raised I just want to ask Susan, is there any corner sections of the county in which you don't have any library members? I'm not looking for you to reel off the percentages from each town. Just, is there any? Is that mic on?
Probably.
I'm sure Susan doesn't have.
Go to the table, Susan. The battery's probably out. We'll have to call our technology guy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So the library is chartered to serve the entire county, which means it serves the population of the county and the other libraries. We save them about $500,000 a year in materials that's shared throughout the both electronic, digital, and print. And we're also the central library for the Finger Lakes Library System. So we serve 33 libraries in a 5-county area. We have that responsibility. It's about $313,000. I don't remember talking with you, Mike, about the space. There is absolutely no parking, no turnaround. There's no entryway that there. It's would be a very difficult rental space. I assure you, we looked at that as a moneymaker. Although public libraries are not for revenue, therefore the community learning. The problem with that space right now is that we're we're bordered by two apartment buildings. The moving vans regularly fight for the space to get there. And they've twice taken off the awning of one of the reading rooms, which our county, Arell and Alan Lockett, get fixed for us every time. So not really a good retail space. But the plan for that library when it was built was always that the library would expand into that space. If you look back at the original planning for it. So it was always understood that it would expand to meet the growing needs of the community.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Susan. I really appreciate answering my question.
I have Martha, and then I have Rich, John.
So this is my 15th county budget. So I'm just getting a little bit of sort of strategic kind of reflection here, which is if somebody's made up their mind, like really clearly made up their mind, like, oh, I don't know, Mike Sigler, it's not really worth trying to convince him otherwise. Now, it's important to explain our reasons for our votes to the public, but I don't think we need to try to. That's a no vote. Okay, I can recognize a no vote when I see. So then the other strategic piece is that we could end up wasting time voting on this one first and getting some no votes for people who want to vote for full time. And then we go back to the full time, and then that wouldn't pass maybe, you know, and then we have to come back to the half time. So I would suggest, it's from what I'm hearing, that if perhaps Mike would remove his, withdraw this amendment and vote on the full-time one first. I mean, it's a strategic thing, and it, you know, I don't have a perfect head count here. I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I've just said I will vote against full-time, but I'll vote for half-time. So I don't know how people want to do it, but I've been in this situation before, and you know, that's what I'd recommend.
Rich, John. And then, Mike, will come to you.
I'm just going to say I'm not inclined to withdraw it.
Okay. Go ahead, Rich. Maybe you can offer up a better solution.
No great solutions here, but I did want to go on record saying I think we should be really proud of our library. I am concerned about the total cost of the position. At this point, I would support the halftime. I'd support Mike's amendment.
All right. Right now, we have on the floor halftime, and I think we're ready to vote on this. And all in favor?
That's the amendment.
The amendment.
Okay. Well, if this passes with at least with a majority of votes, then this is what's in the budget. If somebody,
right.
In other words, this is not like then we're voting to put it on the floor and then vote on it. This is just the vote, right?
No.
It becomes the main motion, so you'd have to vote twice if it passes.
Leslie.
Mr. Chair, another clarification. If this does not pass and the original motion does not pass, we can have a reconsideration at a later date. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You can reconsider right up until the night we vote on the budget.
Thank you. Carol, what you're pointing out is what's on the floor right now. It has your name and Mike Lane's name next to it, and Mike moved that.
I haven't voted for Mike's
We
amendment.
Haven't voted yet.
I have my own motion on the list.
Okay.
Okay. I hope.
Oh, are we ready? There are two votes. The first vote is the amendment halftime position. And all in favor? Julie?
This is my, I don't know, 22nd, 20, I don't know what number budget this is I'm voting on. And I agree with your strategy. And I will support the halftime at this point, and I'm going to come back to this later on in the discussion. So let's just get it over with.
Yes.
It's going to be
Wait a minute. I'm not the one holding
get
this
it,
up.
Julie.
with the amendment for halftime, please raise your hand, all those in favor of the halftime. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And opposed to that amendment, 1, 2, 3, 4. And that passed 10-4, so now we have to do the new amendment, right?
Okay.
And now we are voting on the original for halftime amendment. All right? So all in favor of that, which goes...
Carol, are you saying you have a different flavor of halftime?
Okay. It's fine. I just wanted to preserve my options since I submitted my own and I wasn't responsible for grouping these together or deciding to...
Okay, so it's
Mike's
nothing
way.
Different than Mike.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think Dan had his...
Okay. Dan.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to be voting against this. I just want to be on the record as not voting against libraries. I'm in favor of the full-time position. Thanks.
Oh, sure. Okay. So now we're voting on the exact amendment of a halftime position. All in favor, please raise your hand. And halftime. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Halftime. Opposed. To the halftime. 1, 2, 3. 4. That can't be. No, that's 15.
To begin with.
It had to be 10 to 4. Pick a number.
You're making up things up there.
So it's in at halftime. Mike.
Point of order. Got to thinking. Carol asked the question, could we make amendments to this? Seems to me we went through that last year or the year before. And because what we're doing here is actually amending, we can only do one amendment to that. We couldn't do an amendment to that. We can't go another amendment after that.
No, that was
in a chain.
That was when it comes to the legislature as the budget. Then it's a resolution and amendment, I think.
Okay.
I mean, anybody can bring back another amendment.
Right.
They can change it by a dollar, and it's a new amendment when they do that. But.
So the halftime, it will be going in as halftime now. Next one, Dooley Kiefer, OTR 78, create a full-time weights and measures for 44K. Dooley, you want to move that?
I want to move it, but I hope I don't jinx it by being the one moving it.
Well, see if you can get someone else to put their name on it. It's got your name on it. I don't know how to change that. You're going to move it. Is there a second to... The full-time. Peter Stein, discussion for weights and measures.
There is more than enough work for a full-time assistant.
We'll go right around the room. Martha, Leslin, Mike. Go ahead, Martha.
So Joe has put this in as halftime, correct?
That was my question.
Okay, so that's page 274, section 4. So there were other... staff increases that were requested and you either didn't give them at all or, you know, so this one you stepped up and it's a bigger number than some of the things that you turned down. So what's your sense of the ability of halftime to add value and what's the longer term future for this?
In terms of workload, I think this will be helpful. I think Dooley is right to an extent that there is work that probably is being either delayed or not done right now. I think this will help deal with that. I think there is an element of succession planning in here. You heard Don Ellis talk about the fact he doesn't expect to be here forever, although he'd like to be here for a while. But there is some succession planning that will occur because of this. My feeling was... and I've heard the legislature for many years talking about their concern about the need for additional support here. In looking at it myself and in talking to Don, I think halftime is sufficient. I think the only qualification I would put on that, I did hear Don express concern about, can we attract somebody to work this job on a halftime basis? I suspect we can. We'll test the market. But again, in terms of pure workload, I think this is probably a really good fit.
Okay, well, I'm going to oppose the addition of the halftime to make it full. I support the halftime inclusion, the increase of halftime from where we are now. But, again, I just don't think we can afford everything we might wish to do. And I also don't hear that Don is retiring next year. And we've heard that from a variety of departments where we know somebody's retiring next year. And so we plan to build that in. So it doesn't seem like that's happening. So we could work into that position and perhaps next year make that full. But I think my amendments are all basically one-time or multi-year funding. I'm really, really cautious about adding additional target responsibilities. So I'm going to vote against this this change.
I have Dan, Peter, and Carol.
I'm going to vote against making it full-time. The job of the weights and measures person is to make sure that the prices and the weights of the products and services that we buy in this county are accurate. And I have never experienced myself an inaccuracy. I have never heard anyone ever tell me they've experienced inaccuracy. I've never heard anyone come to the legislature and say they've experienced an inaccuracy. So we're already increasing the department by 50%. I will be voting against increasing it by 100%.
Peter Stein.
The reason I'm voting for it is that I think it guarantees an automatic succession, is that there's somebody who has made this his career, or his or her career. If you give it a full-time job, a half-time job isn't the same kind of commitment. And I think it's not a lot of money. I think it's worth the extra money to have a person who's able to jump right in and do the whole job if something tragic happens to the person who's already there. It's going to be very hard to hire somebody that is fully up to that to take his place if necessary.
Okay, I have Carol and then Anna.
So I theoretically support the need for a full-time position and the concept that we'll be able to hire better if we just go to full-time. We've needed this for years. There's more consumer protection we could be doing out of that office, so alerting people to some of the things like the microbeads. You know, I can't imagine he's got time to check those real carefully. I think there's a reason why we haven't heard of people. Actually, I have talked to Don in the past, and there are situations where he has had to ask people to adjust scales and things like that. I think that to the extent that we don't have a bigger problem, it's because we do have somebody checking. But as our economy increases, that becomes a bigger job. That said, have I mentioned that I thought we should get some of the smaller items under our belts before doing some of the bigger items? Is it acceptable to move to postpone this till later the process?
This is not a big item, I don't think. There are much bigger items.
So, again, this is something that next session, next week I might support, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to do it right now. At some point when this is done, since I happen to have the floor, can you ask Kevin before the next one to just refresh our memories about what we're looking at up there and how the numbers change? It's not right now, but...
Well, it's very simple. You can do it in 20 words or less, right, Kevin? Up there?
Well, for people who haven't been through this before, for those of us who have, refresh our memories.
Kevin, please.
What would you like to know, Carol?
As we make decisions, we're going to see numbers change up there, right?
Yeah,
right.
The change will show up in this column here. The first row is the change to the levy.
Those are millions? That's dollars.
Dollars.
In the last column, okay.
Yep. And it's the change between the recommended and the amendments. So it's the result in dollars of the amendments on the levy. This is the change in the tax rate as a result of amendments that are approved. This is the change in the county tax bill on a median-priced home in Tompkins County, which, as you can see, is $175,000 this year. This number is the change in the county tax bill versus the prior year. The recommended budget would be a 0.42 increase over the 2016 budget. And this one is at 617.44 now. So that's the element of change there. This is the recommended, the 3% that you asked Joe to bring the budget in at, and it's the recommended was a 3%. This is where you are now with the approved amendments. This is that element of change. And these are the reserve numbers, reserve and applied rollover. If you approve a one-time, that change will show up here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I will get to you. Let me make a comment to you, Carol, about putting one aside now and taking it at a later time. I think that's why we have three meetings scheduled. We do what we do, and if you want to bring back something later, you've either gotten further information or you've lobbied other people around the table, and things can change. So I don't think we do something today and hold it off, and then you can always bring it back. That's why we have scheduled meetings. And a number to watch up there that should be in red or blue, or the 0.09, like when the market closes, But at any rate, somebody else had their hand up over here, I think. Anna and Mike Lane.
So there are two things that are really impacting me. One thing, Martha, you said a few things, but the one thing that for me is really important is, although I'm reading these OTRs, every single one of them has merit on some level. We can't support all of them, and that's why we're here struggling. But the one thing that I did experience, a stress that I experienced, was how many departments came and said that they have people retiring. I was impressed by that number in not a positive way. So I hear this and I appreciate this, and I have to, for myself, recognize that we have funds that are going to need to be spread out over a series of departments that are experiencing this. So that was one issue for me. And the second question for my pondering this is, how much time will it take to train someone to do succession? And he did state that he hopes to be on for another 3 years. So I do appreciate the logic of testing out the market. It has been denied for years. This is the first time that, it's now in the recommended budget, the recognition. So I'm in support of testing that, seeing what we can get, getting some training, and then revisiting potentially. So I'll support the halftime.
Thank you, Mike Lyon.
Thanks. I'm also going to support this only at the halftime position, so I'll be voting against this amendment. I think Dooley and I have been broken records on this for as many budgets as I can think of in the past, trying to get additional help over there, because this is our sole consumer protection department that we have. And I just want to – I got to associate myself with Martha's remarks, too. We've got to be really careful here. Remember, we're starting this budget changing tonight. We're already in the recommended budget at 3% increase in the levy, which is above our tax cap. So anything we add will simply increase the levy and get us further from that tax cap. I'm not seeing any cuts recommended here so far. So I guess I'll just leave it at that, but I won't support this amendment, even though I think Fury could use it.
Julia, you think you can change your mind? Go ahead.
I was intrigued that Dan Klein said he's never heard of any mistakes that have ever been found or something like that. And in fact, there have been, especially when unit pricing came in. And today, I can go into stores and the unit pricing is missing under certain items. It should be there. I could call Don Ellis. He could go out and tell the store manager, you should have unit pricing there. That's not the best use of his time. So I generally just tell the store manager, you should have unit pricing where it belongs. There are just things like that all the time. And Don Ellis was the obvious county employee to check for pesticide labeling when we did neighborhood notification of pesticide use to make sure that on the shelves in the stores where you could buy pesticide, there was information telling homeowners they have to put signs up when they use this stuff. And there are other items that deal with the environment, like microbeads. Don Ellis is the one who is supposed to be looking at the packaging to see if the microbeads have been removed from shelves once we pass that. There is so much work for him to do. There's enough work for two people to do. And this, I think that it's going to be very difficult for this legislature next year, when some people are running for re-election, to be as generous as they might be this year on positions like this. This is the year when we should be most serious about adding full-time positions and not temporizing and not saying we'll fund this position for 3 years, one time each year, so it doesn't affect the levy. This is really the last year for this particular four-year legislature, in my experience, to make additions of this sort. I will support a half-time position, but it's on the way to supporting a full-time position at some point. And if you want to wait to see what happens, if you have already in your own minds decided I'm not going to raise the levy beyond 3.2%, then we're in for real trouble. We're already over the tax levy. Once we're over it, then all we have to be is $1 over it, and it doesn't matter what the tax cap says.
Am I hearing maybe a soft removal of your amendment here? You want to move it to full time? It's in at half time. Do you want to pull it back, or do you want to vote it on?
I'll vote on it now, and I'll come back to it.
Okay. All in favor of Dooley's amendment to move the position from half to full? No, half in the budget, but to a full-time position, please raise your hand. 1, 2. Opposed. It is defeated 2-12. Let me make one comment here. Mike has to leave at 10 minutes of 8. I'm sure he has to pick up his daughter or something, but if I look impatient at any point, it's my fault, because I've been saying for 5 years, you know, save your A stuff until the voting, and, you know, people have done that, and I applaud the fact that you've saved it until that it actually counts and not during the time when we're listening to the department heads. So
I'll come back, Jim. I just have to step out for 10 minutes.
Oh, all right. Okay. Next item, Leslin McBean, Claiborne, number 5, increase hours of admin assistant level 1 from 35 to 40. It cost $5,600.
Oh, Jim, you spoiled it for me. I was going to ask for big money. So I'd like to move that amendment to the budget. To increase the administrative assistant position.
Julie, second. Discussion. Martha.
I have a question. I'm looking at it's page 8 in section 4. The description said this was included in the 2016 budget but never filled. Not filled due to delayed retirement evaluation specialist. So that confuses me for starters. So
Jay is here.
Yep, here he is.
Hi, Jay. Okay, so how is this position related to the evaluation specialist?
Well, realizing that our senior evaluation specialist wasn't going to retire, rather than come back and ask the legislature for more money to continue him at full time, I just used the money that was included in the budget for the admin assistant to cover his position salary. He was supposed to retire in 2013. My fingers are crossed that he's finally going to retire at the end of this month. I've seen him working on the paperwork, so hopefully he can retire, enjoy his retirement, and
not that you're trying to get rid of him or anything, but
I don't want him to leave, but he has earned his right to retire.
Okay, so in other words, you had to cover his salary, so because of that, you didn't fill this line at all, right?
Correct.
And so now you're expecting he will retire, but you only have money in the budget for 35 hours?
Correct. I was only able to cover 35 in 2017.
And so you're looking for the extra
5 hours.
5 hours. I see. Okay, and then
yes.
Just Joe, any particular reason you didn't approve?
No, and I said early on that I had kind of an internal A list of things that if I had a little more money, I would have put money behind. This is one of them. This will harmonize the hours in the office. And Jay has never asked for anything that wasn't well deserved. So it was only because I didn't have enough money.
Okay.
Anything
else? Thank you. So I'll support this.
Okay. All in favor of this amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, the count is 14-0. That is in there. Leslin, I'm not going to do it for you.
I was actually going to give this one to Carol.
Oh. Well, Board of Elections.
Board of Elections, Carol, you want to do that?
You want to do it, Carol?
Sure, I'll do it. I had a little further down, but the people who come out and are the... Oh, sorry. I am moving... over target request number 5 for the Board of Elections, it's in your budget book, page 4-20, to increase election inspectors' pay from $10 to $12 an hour. Those are poll workers.
Is there a second? Dan, seconds? Discussion. Carol.
Well, so I just think that the people who come out and do these, 15-hour days, we really need people to do that, and they haven't kept pace, and they just deserve to at least be getting $12 an hour.
Anyone else? Mike Klein.
Yeah, what convinced me to support this was the fact that we had been a leader in what we paid our election inspectors, and we've fallen behind.
Anyone else?
I was going to say what he said.
That's good. I really am going to support this because at the end of my term next year, I'm hoping that I can become an election inspector and get there and eat donuts with everyone else. You know, so
that's an ethics violation.
It's an ethics violation.
All in favor of this motion, please raise your hand. Opposed. One opposed. 13-1. Leslin McBean, Claiborne Opportunities OAR Fund for College Initiative Program. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to roll here. I'd like to move OTR number, 51?
It is.
You can find it on your budget page 532 for OAR in the amount of $70,000. One-time money, I'm asking it for one time, to support the College Initiative Program. We heard a lot about it. We were all impressed with the presentation. I think it's a good investment in the citizenry of our community, particularly those who are re-entering our community. We started this wonderful re-entry program and trying to support people coming back into our community from being involved in our correctional facilities to start a fresh new life. So I'd like to move that.
Is there a second? Martha. Discussion, Martha and Anna.
Well, I seconded it, but I would actually like to amend it and make it multi-year, 2 years, which is the next one down, just from the point of view of giving them more of a chance to get established so we can see results. And even at the 2 years, it doesn't add to the levy. It's still...
That's very friendly to me.
Okay.
There's a motion to amend it from 1 year to 2 years, one-time money.
friendliness of budget at this time? We get to be friendly?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's friendly
all right.
to me.
So it's friendly? So we're looking at one time for 2 years. Once a year. Anna, go ahead.
The one thing that I was very impressed with, so this for anybody who was not here in the public, the group that came to present not only brought a tremendous amount of support with them, colleagues that are collaborating, so they brought their collaborators, but they also brought people who have directly benefited from this program. And gave us the numbers of those that they have impacted and the number of people who have gone through the program are now actually in college. And this is all before they even came to us to ask for funding. That was astounding to me that they believe in this program that much, one, and two, that they're showing us that they can succeed. They're showing us results already. So... for me in particular, that was impressive and is influencing my vote. And I want to see what we can get, the return on this that we can get if they actually are funded and supported and given the chance to explore how far this can go. So I'm absolutely in support of multi-year, which I think will be better for us to see a trend in how much they can do.
Well, I will.
I would support this as target, but I will support this as a multi-year. I'm really pleased that we've given this at least 2 years. And I see this as just a very important part of all the efforts we're doing to ultimately reduce our recidivism rate and basically make it easier for people that have run into trouble to start their lives on a better track. So. Thank you for getting us on.
My only comment about this, I think the enthusiasm that the woman had who came here and talked to us was electric. My concern was, how long is that electricity going to be here? And, you know, if she moved new to the community and 1 year might be a great idea and she'll love doing it, and that next year the grandchildren might call and she's somewhere else. You know, so.
She's already been doing it for 1 year as a volunteer.
And her grandchildren are here.
I get it.
They're here.
Grandchildren are here.
Please don't argue with me. I don't argue with you. my point is, I think it's a good idea. They had wonderful people here supporting it, and the president, TC3, and others. That's my concern. Okay? I think we're ready to vote. It's now a two-year program, one time. Each year, Martha.
Isn't where do your grandchildren live an illegal HR question from, you know, not supposed to ask? Just wondering. Okay.
All in favor of this program or this amendment, please raise your hand.
I think it was friendly.
Well, we have to vote still.
It's a two-year.
It's Leslin's amendment. It's a two-year.
Right.
It was friendly, moving from one to two, one-time money each year. Rich?
Point of order. So if this does not pass, can we vote on the 1 year?
Sure.
Okay.
The next time.
It can be removed.
Or you can make a target.
Okay. We're voting on the main motion, but the main motion is a two-year main
correct.
Motion.
Correct.
Okay.
So somebody would have to bring it back.
Right. We're voting on a two-year motion. All right? Dooley?
I wanted to ask the movers, is it either 1 year or 2 year because you don't think it's going to work? Because I thought there was a track record already, and that's an argument for making it target. But is the reason for making it 1 or 2 years that it's still experimental?
For me, it is, and we still wanted to see those results before we, you know, before I feel convinced that we want to make it target. And so we just wanted to give it sort of that two-year pilot. That's why I had it in as 1 year, but I'm open to it being 2 years as well.
I also think the program got started with way less than this amount, but with a private grant. So I'm hopeful that maybe if we kind of show support, but not necessarily forever support, that the philanthropy can kick in and be encouraged.
Peter Stein and then Carol and then Rich.
I'll vote against the 2 years. My understanding that generally what we do, the reason we do 1 year instead of target, is that we want to see if it worked okay. And so I don't see any reason for changing that. I'm certainly support the idea, but I think we should have the opportunity to see whether it worked. So,
Carol.
The presentation that they made, I think, was the single most impressive presentation I have heard in my almost nine years now in the legislature. It was amazing to hear how people's lives had turned around. I moved it at 2 years. I wasn't quite ready to do target because I think it's been as successful as we heard it has been, with a volunteer who sounds like she moved heaven and earth and, has made it her life's calling. I want to see how it'll work as a salaried program. And I didn't think 1 year was enough because you're helping people apply for college. So there's a year in which they're figuring out, do I want to apply? How do I apply? What does it take? How can I afford it? All of that part of the process. And then there's a year where you find out, did they start going to college? And how are they doing through the first semester? So I didn't think 1 year is enough to find out and establish a track record.
Someone else had their hand up. Rich, go ahead.
I agree. They came in with a really inspiring presentation. I'd like to see that presentation next year. That's why I support 1 year. I want to see them come in and, with county involvement, say it really worked again. And then we get more money rather than committing for two right now.
Martha.
I would make an argument that we can add this to our list of things we're going to tell the Commission on Correction that we have put into our budget as, commitment towards reducing population in the jail. And I think it'll make a more convincing part of our puzzle if we say it's a two-year commitment to this program.
Are we ready to vote on this? We are voting on a two-year commitment for this program at $70,000 a year, one-time money. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1 year.
Mr. Chair, can we go back to
yes,
1 year?
Can.
One time, $70,000 to OER to support the College Initiative Program.
Is there a second? Rich, any further discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? 1, 2. 12-2, it passes one time for 1 year. And hopefully they will come back next year. Planning Department, implementation of OTR 59. It's got Carol's name and Martha. Flip a coin. Who wants to do it? Martha, you're the chair of the committee.
All right, thanks. I'll move it. It's page 209 in your in section 4. And the Planning Commission, the Planning Department, put in a request for 100,000 target in our conversations at committee, though we'd love to be able to commit to that amount of money on a target basis. I think this will be a good way to go. 3 years. $50,000 each year, and we think that we'll be able to find partners in out there. So to perhaps bring it up to 100,000. So I think this is a good start, and so I hope we can do this. This is truly a big priority coming out of the Energy and Economic Development Task Force. This was the main thing we could implement on a local basis, was to get expertise that business and industry could and the commercial sector could use to make it easier, quicker, more user-friendly for them to improve efficiencies and go to renewables. So I think this is really critical for our county.
I have Anna, and then Mike, and Carol.
Second.
Oh, I need a second. I'm sorry. Anna, second. Thank you, Kathy Kober. Now, Anna, okay. Carol, Mike.
I'm definitely in support of this. I think that the Energy and Economic Task Force took on one of the absolute hardest tasks that we have to deal with among the people who've been fighting for sustainable practices and are dealing with climate change issues, and that is bringing together people in economic development and environmentalists to the same table to come up creatively with solutions to maintain our economic development in a way that is sustainable. So I applaud the task force for that effort. The intention of this position is to continue that incredibly difficult work. So this person is going to be the negotiator, bringing people to the table, finding the appropriate people, making sure that we move forward in a productive way. And I could easily see that breaking down under the tension between these two if this position is not there. I think that it is an extremely important position. It's the task force report was something that we all heard, we recognized, we supported. If we don't have this position as that bridge builder, we are crippling that effort, and I think that it is extremely important. I appreciate that it is in there as a pilot. It is half support. We know that they're going to look for other support systems, other sources of funding, and this is not coming out of Target. So I think that it's a good time to support this and see where it can go. So I'm absolutely in support of it.
Carol Chalk, and then Mike Lane.
Oh, you know, you all know I support doing this and that I've wanted to see us do something like this for a long time, although I wouldn't have foreseen this is the way we were going to come to it. I think that the effort by the economic development folks and the environmental community to sit down, you couldn't have started, you know, at more polar opposites on an issue coming to a discussion and ended up with something together. And I think it's a great model, and I applaud those who took part in it. And I think we ought to, this is the outgrowth. And if we expect to do that with other issues in the future, to have nothing, you know, to not have attention come to this one in this kind of way, it'll be harder to make the case for on other things in the future. So please support this.
Mike Lane.
Could I ask Ed Marks to flesh this out a little bit for me? I support this navigator thing. It was our number one position. But how will we use this? Supposedly we get the $100,000. Are we going to hire somebody? If so, where? Are we going to contract out for these services? What's the thought?
The thought is to hire someone who would be stationed in the planning department but work collaboratively with both planning and TCAD to implement this program, much like we actually do with Workforce Now, making visits to businesses along with TCAD when they make visits to talk about energy issues and have a person that could independently then help them navigate the path forward in terms of what they might do in their business and what resources they might access in order to do that.
Is it the most cost-effective way to do it, to hire an employee?
We think so because, first of all, we considered the option of hiring a consultant to do this. There's two problems with that, potentially. One, their availability when somebody needs the assistance. And two, the rates are very high. I mean, the consultants with this expertise are going to charge a pretty high rate, so I don't think we would save much. And the third thing, the potential for conflicts, because those same consultants may want to work for that business on helping them make energy improvements. And if they're the one advising them and then doing the work, that would put us in a position of potentially a conflict with the consultant. So we discussed it internally with Joe, with TCAD, and we think this is probably the best way to go. We're still working on we'll come back, obviously, to the legislature with a more fully formed proposal, but we do have a pretty good sense of how this would work at this point.
Thank you.
I had Dooley now.
It was interesting to see this recommendation come from the task force. it's the most important thing, in my view, that has come out of that task force recommendation. I was waiting to see whether TCAD or the planning department would step up to fill this necessary role, and it's planning that has stepped up. It's clear to me that this is not something that you need for 1 year or just part-time. It's going to be needed from now into the future. And in my view, it should be a full-time county position, not hoping to fund part of it from grants and other places, which are always chancier. So I am disappointed that it's not being moved as a full-time position with sufficient money to hire a full-time person. I just wanted to get my position clear.
Anyone else want to talk about this? We're ready to vote. All in favor of...
I do want a quick thing. I think the intention is... And without breaching confidence of entities that haven't made formal commitments yet, I think the intention is that we will look for other support to make this a full-time position by offering, you know, by making it clear it's funded for at least 3 years. We give a professional, you know, good sense of longevity that, you know, that's a good go to prove this works. So if, in my mind, if we can find partners to support our initiatives, that's a real bargain for the taxpayers. I think it's worth doing it this way.
Didn't you just violate that rule you made a little while ago?
What?
No.
What? I don't know.
The one about arguing with people. It's a joke. All in favor of this amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? Three. So it's 11-3.
Could I ask who the three were, please, Jim?
There was four. I think he.
Again. The opposition. How many people were opposed? One, two, three. Who's the other one? What? I voted yes. So it'd be 11.
You had your hand up. I wasn't sure.
No, I voted at the first go around. 11. It's 11-3. Mm-hmm. Okay. So hello, Energy Navigator. Oh. Number 10 on your scorecard, it is Chalk Lane, Kellis, Maury, Kofa. Who wants to do it? Anna.
Let Glenn do it.
I can do it.
Yeah, no, let Glenn do it.
Thank you.
I'll just rock on, Glenn.
This is OTR number 19. It's on section 4, page 67. It's for the County Office for the Aging, Kofa. It's to maintain living wage standard for at FoodNet. I'm in for this because I've never seen a better run agency in the county as COFA. And also the FoodNet is a very well needed service in the county. So, and also since Steve Griffin, we should honor him for voting yes.
And you're moving it? Is there a second? And multiple people are seconding it. And I will give her credit for that one. Any discussion about this? At all. Rich.
Could somebody explain why the number's different than in the book? I think we heard that, but
I
just.
Can explain that.
Yes. If somebody could quickly
well,
educate.
Anna can probably do it. John is here. And
Let's ask John.
Yeah. This is right there.
It was $22,000 yes, and they found money.
John came last night and explained that the actual cost is only $10,000.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Lisa's right there.
Yeah, Lisa. Can't explain it.
So at the time that we put the budget together in the summer, I was not certain that this source of state funding for to reimburse direct care workers was going to continue. And then by the time that I made my budget presentation, I got confirmation that that funding would continue and that would pay for the difference that you see.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? All in favor? Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Anyone opposed? It passes 14-0. Okay. Shut out. Carol Chalk, number 48, Sheriff's Office. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I put in here over target number 48. It's for the jail. It is funding to cover increases in the cost of medicine, the medicine itself for the inmates, as I understand. We have to do it, and boy, if, you know, I don't understand how we would ask people to get their lives back together if they don't at least have their basic medicine. It is on budget page 4-238. It is $8,000 of target funding. It would be 0.02% on the levy. And I move it.
There's looks of concern on this side of the room. Is there? Joe?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of pressure points in the sheriff's budget. I'm not sure that this one rises to that level. I just ran some numbers again. I actually think our budget is going to be pretty close. I think the budget for this next year is adequate. We had a crazy year last year with respect to medical costs. But when I run averages, sometimes, you know, you have to look at the normal, not the extraordinary. And I look at today's projection for where we are. I do think the amount of money we put aside for this in the budget should be adequate to cover medical costs next year.
Peter Levlin.
Joe, what if it isn't?
Well, then we come to the contingency account and we cover with the money that we put aside for contingencies.
So it's guaranteed that this money will be spent, right?
No.
I mean, that will be covered.
If the bill comes, we will have to pay that bill.
So
it's essentially a mandate.
From the view of the Sheriff's Department, I don't see why it really matters one way or the other.
Well, they're conscientious about their budget. So I think it does matter to them how they finish the year. Your point, Peter, is it is virtually a mandate. If the bill comes, we have to pay the bill.
That's right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Leslin?
Mr. Chair, that was my question. I'm good.
Okay. Martha and then Carol.
So the write-up on this page for this one and OTR 46, the write-ups are the same. But the 46 is $23,535. Is that for staff, like the nurse or something? Raise here too.
So which I'm.
What are you looking at? So two lines of two OTRs above this is also jail medical.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the sum of our medical cost, the cost to provide care mm-hmm. to our inmates. So
okay.
That's what I'm tracking, and it's my opinion that we should have enough money in 2017 to cover.
To cover. So, I'm asking: is 46 staffing and 48 is medicine?
Kevin has his hand up. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes. The any of those jail-related OTRs that have the number 3151 in front, that's the functional unit number. That indicates that's the mandate related to prisoner care, essentially. Ray, correct me if I go wrong, please. It carries, there are no personnel costs in that mandate. It's
okay.
All the professional services is what we pay to doctors. The medicine is actually the purchase of medicine. So
okay. So the $23,000 one is the doctor's time?
Yes, professional services.
Right.
Yes. Okay. And Carol picked out the medicine. Now, so are you saying, Joe, that the both of those you believe it will be covered yeah. in the typical ebb and flow of the budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so I'm not going to support this, and I am going to come back after looking at all the sheriff, the jail, and the road items here, because there's a lot of stuff in here, but I'm not going to support this at this time then.
Okay, we have Carol and then Anna.
So I picked out this one in particular. We have some other stuff on our desks about personnel and things like that. I just don't see the cost of the medicines themselves, you know, staying the same. I just, you know, I don't buy your medicines, but mine keep going up. And so I think that we just have to face that this isn't going to go down, and it's an amount we can manage now before we talk about the whole other numbers. And so I just thought that this was important to keep in there as a piece. And I know you think we can absorb this, but I still think it's important to make sure that of anything that we're that we're making sure people have the medicines that they are that their bodies are used to taking.
Joe, may I ask a question, and then we'll go to. Obviously, the 16 number wasn't enough, so the 17 projected budget, you increased that number, and you know. All right, I understand. Anna.
Just really quickly, you said that this is for two thoughts. First, for Kevin. The 3151 is a mandate code, you said. Is the 3150 personnel? Is that the difference? Because I see the other ones are 3150. I just was curious.
Yeah, I think that's more generally the corrections functional unit where you'd find wages and things like that. And the 3151 is the functional unit that carries the mandated expenses.
Got it.
Are we ready here?
So the comment that I had about that was just that I'm looking at the most amount of OTRs that we've gotten from a department is coming through the sheriff's department, and I want to be very conscientious, recognizing that we're not going to be able to support all of them. And I think they've made it really clear to us where their priorities are, where their needs are, and given that this is a mandate right now, I'd like to hold off on and not support this right now.
Are we ready to vote on this? It's $8,000 to target, and all in favor of that, please raise their hands. One. Opposed? A whole bunch. one to 13. Karachakri Services.
Okay. The outing program. So I had a lot of trouble as this first came to us understanding exactly
Carol,
what
would
this,
you move it?
Oh,
and,
I'm sorry.
And we
I will
get it
move
on
it.
The floor.
Yes, I will move it.
Okay.
I'm obviously going there. It is OTR number 83. It is youth services. It is, it's written here as additional agency funding for expansion of new outing program, although that's not the way I worded it.
Well.
It's $10,000 of target money. It's, again, 0.02% on the levy. And it is
and could I have a second for that? Anna. Now, Carol, go.
It is page 4-291. So as we heard, I think, in more detail last night, the Pathfinders program in particular, it is a program that has been tested. It sits within the Ithaca Youth Bureau. It has served as a way to bring together urban and rural kids in 5-week units to do something together, something fun together, something where they're in the outdoors. And it's if they picked the years between fourth and fifth graders, so that when they come to middle school together, there are some kids who know each other across that urban and rural divide. And what they're proposing to do here, it's not just sitting in the city and serving city kids. It is to bring that program to teams of two schools at a time, one in the more rural areas, one in the city, as part of the Ithaca School District. But this stretches through much of the county, not all of the county, but there's very few of our towns that don't have, of your districts, that don't have at least part of your districts where kids get to take part in this program. I think this is important to do because I watched my four kids go through the four different elementary schools, then come into two middle schools, ACS and the high school, so DeWitt Point, and that urban-rural divide, even at that age, was pretty big, and I see that play out here. I just think this is a way to start trying to tackle how do you bring people together when they're kids to understand and appreciate each other's perspectives. And I think it's not all, it's $10,000. I think it's important to do, so I'm hoping that we will do this. And I wanted to ask, do we have somebody here from the program who feels like I didn't do that justice? Is there anything else you want to add? No? Okay, at this point, I can't hear. Is that a yes or a no? No. Okay, did you have stuff to hand out to us? Okay, you got emails this morning that in much more detail and probably much more eloquently than I just did explained exactly what this program is and isn't, which is just funding to pick up something that the city isn't doing.
Anna, Martha.
So it took me a little while to understand the importance, the extent that it is of this program, just because we're getting so many pieces. And so I spoke for a while to Suki afterwards yesterday, I think, or this week at some point. So I guess, we all have our views on these OTRs, and so this is my small plea to all of you to keep your minds open about this one when you are voting. We have a world now where our children are inundated with technology. They live on technology. They very rarely leave them behind. I know of people who are now trying to put regulations that the kids have to leave them at the door just so that they can have moments in their home where they're not plugged into technology. And very rarely are they giving that up as in exchange for an opportunity to go outside and play and disconnect. And I think that it's a tremendous loss, and I've read some of the research and the impact on what that's having to mental health issues. There is some epidemiologic studies that is exploring the impact of being so plugged in. This is an opportunity for kids to get back out in nature. The research just shows over and over and over what that does to quality of life. And it's not there. Our education system is not there. There isn't the opportunity for that. And here's one chance where they do in a structured environment, in a safe environment, not only to get out in nature with people and mentors who understand nature, who can show them what it is, show the beauty of what it is, how to feel safe there, but also supports diversity and supports the children of fourth and fifth graders mingling and learning how to cross that divide. It addresses a ton of issues that we all feel are very important. And I think that this is a preventative measure for a lot of the issues that we're seeing coming through into our young adult populations. As a professor at Cornell, the things that we're seeing, I believe that this would be a strong preventative measure. It's not a lot of money that would double the outreach. So I know I've spoken too much, but I was very impressed with what this would offer. Thanks.
Anyone else? Martha Roberts.
Was that Amy Hendricks over there? Hi, Amy. If you could come up and explain these. So on page 291, the OTRs described as funding requested by agency providers was over $810,000. The Resource Allocation Committee felt they couldn't adequately meet all the needs of the agencies that applied. So can you describe the process? So you,
sure.
We're real familiar with the HSC process. What does that sentence mean?
So on a three-year basis, 3 to 5 years, we open up our funding cycle. We put out a request for proposals. There's a pre-proposal process, and then there's a full proposal process. The pre-proposals are reviewed by, I have a youth advisory board. They look at those pre-proposals, determine which applicants should go on based on youth development focus, really serving all of the county. So not one program has to serve the entire county, but they lay out. They actually have the agency's map where they're serving, so they can look and see, are we really making sure that our funding is touching all of the county? They're funding youth at different levels, really looking at who's being funded, as well as what the quality of those services are. Then the agencies that are selected move on to the full proposal. We bring in additional community members to review those full proposals. The full proposals really allow us to see what the programs are. When we go from pre-proposal to full proposal process, we can then say to the programs, okay, this looks like you're really targeting this area. We're more focused on this. Or, you know, we give them some tips of what we're looking for. When we had the full proposals come in, we have about $300,000 between state funding as well as county funding, and we had much more than that requested. So what we had to do is really look at it and see who we could fund and at what levels, and then have conversations with the agencies, because some had received our funding in the past and some were being brought into the fold maybe for the first time. So what this request is for is we didn't have enough funding to fund all of those proposals. And so the committee looked at the outings program, thought it was a good quality program, and then wanted to say, we don't have enough money. So how we would move forward is to request additional funding. When we moved or talked with the Ithaca Youth Bureau, we said, what if we were able to just provide half of it? What would that look like? And so that's where that first additional 75 youth served number came from. And then if they were fully funded, they said, you know, that's between 150 and 200 youth. That's what it would look like. So that's why you're seeing the over-target request for 10,000, because there's 10,000 already allocated in our budget for the outings program.
I have Glenn, I have Peter, and then I will go back to you, Carol.
Hi, Amy. In the description, it says the outing program will be unable to fully serve all youth in the Ithaca City School District. Is this restricted just to Ithaca School District?
This program is only an Ithaca City School District program, so it serves rural and urban youth in the Ithaca City School District.
Peter.
Joel, you know, my natural instinct is to say yes to this because it's all the things I like. It's youth, it's diversity, it's health, it's outside. So why did you turn it down?
Because he hates kids.
He doesn't like any of those things.
It just didn't. Well, I've told you before about capacity. I had a certain amount of money to work with. Some things I viewed as having a very high priority. So it wasn't that much money to work with, and that's where my money went. This was a lesser priority than those things that I did recommend in the budget. I mean, we do. I mean, this community is very generous in terms of what we commit to youth services. I think when you compare us to other counties in the state, we rank at the top or near the top. So I think we have every right to be proud of what we do. This would have been another investment in that, and again, in terms of the priorities that I assigned, it didn't rise to the same level as those things that we put in the budget.
Thank you.
Carol Chalk. Mike wants to go. Can he go first? Go ahead, Mike.
I'd like to move to make it one time.
Is there a second for that, Martha? Discussion about the motion to go from target to one time. Anyone? Mike.
Well, I'll just say that we all like youth. Even Joe likes youth. And we'd like to fund everything we can. But adding this to the target, we'll add it to the levy. Let's try it for a year and see where we are next year and whether the program has met expectations and whether we should continue.
You're talking about moving it from target to one time, I hope.
Correct.
No, the people with their hands up.
Sorry.
Anna?
I just have a comment. I have a question. I have a question. Is that okay?
Go.
So if we do move it to one time, mm-hmm. I guess this is a question for both of you. What measures of success would we be looking for to reevaluate whether or not to move this then to target?
So all of our agencies, and you've heard somewhat about the results-based accountability system. So this will be a new program in that system. So we'll be looking at who are the youth they're serving, and then we'll work with them to develop their own performance measures, which they've already given us those measures. So we could look at those measures and see how they're doing. We could look to see if they are really expanding the program, because this one time would actually be a program expansion. So are they serving that full amount of youth across all of the different municipalities within Ithaca City School District? So I think we could look at those measures and see how that's happening and how that works for one year.
So this one year could give you enough of a wiggle room for you to have more information to evaluate and potentially include it in your next year's full budget?
Yes, that we could look at that.
I had Martha and then Carol.
I would hope that the year might include an approach to the Ithaca School District to find $10,000 to support this.
Carol.
Is one year enough to know?
I think it'll give us some baseline measurements. I mean, it'll be one year. I'm not sure exactly what we'll know. We will know if the program is able to increase. It is currently in operation, so we can look at what's happening in 2016 and what was changed in 2017. So it will give us some information.
Dan.
Yeah, I guess that's the point I was going to make, is that the program exists without us needing to add to it or, you know, check the evaluation of what we added to it. It's already existing and will exist, and we can evaluate that if that's what we're interested in.
Are we ready to vote on Mike's amendment?
First I have a question. Never mind. I'll wait till.
Are we ready to vote on Mike's amendment from Dooley?
I oppose Mike's amendment. The program works. There's a need. And the idea that it's limited to the city school district is unfortunate. It would be nice if it included the whole of the county. I would rather see it move in that direction, but that's not under discussion right now. I think it's a pity to not support something that's been piloted and that's working and that's needed. So I oppose Mike's cutting it.
Anyone else? Mike, you have to go for the fitting. It's an Evan Costello joke. You've never heard it?
No, I missed that one.
I will support Mike's amendment, and I'm glad he made it, because I was not going to support the other at all. So I'm glad he did that. All in favor of Mike's amendment to make this one time for $10,000, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any. One, two, Peter, you're opposed?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. So it's 10-4. It passed. And then now we have to vote on the main motion. All in favor of the motion to make this one time for $10,000, please raise your hand.
To do it at
all. You mean to put it in as one time?
Put it in at one time.
Put it in as a one time.
All in favor? Opposed? One, two, three. 11-3. Thank you. So go buy a tent. You can do it for one more year.
Jim?
Yes?
This discussion we just had reminded me of something that I want to underline. The tentative budget from the county administrator was kept to a 3% level because that was our guideline for the county administrator.
Yes.
But what he gave us, as he has said just now, is they're his opinions, his preferences, his priorities. That's what he has to do because that's what he has to work
on. Yes.
We are supposed to be reflecting our priorities. And he's done a nice job of making it easy for us by letting us know what his priorities are. But I think that we should take our own responsibilities as seriously as he did and apply our priorities and not be bound by an artificial guideline of the sort we gave him. And that's not what I'm seeing tonight at all. Thank you.
Duly recorded. Next item is Chuck McKenna-Kellis, Cornell Cooperative Extension. Which one of you wants to move it?
Is Ken here yet?
No, he's not here yet.
What?
This was the one that I suggested.
Oh, all right. Okay, well, they're not here. We'll go on.
Can we just change the order just a little bit?
Page 2, top of page 2. Again, it's you, Carol, OTR 74, DSS. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. This is OTR number 74. It's on page 4-248. It's in the Department of Social Services, but it is to fund the added cost to purchase electric vehicles instead of the gas-powered vehicles that we now purchase. It's the marginal cost of doing that. It's an expense of $8,375, a target.
Is there a second? You're moving that.
Yep.
Is there, and second, Anna. I have, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong. Well, no, I'm going to say that. I thought we had that in the budget that we were going to buy electric cars.
So in 26 this year, we're going to buy 5 in mental health. This is for DSS. It's in here because, again, not enough money, but also we thought it was important for the legislature to weigh. This is kind of a policy call to weigh in on this.
Thank you. I was wrong. Dan, and then over here, Carol Martha.
Why is this target and not one time?
Right. Yeah. Because
they buy cars almost every year.
I mean, are you certain that? I guess my question is, next year, is it going to be the same?
Yeah.
If the gap in price between conventional vehicles and electric vehicles remains about where it is, this will be a recurring item for a while. Unless you raise the target, and then it will be built into the baseline budget, and they can buy electric.
Dan, did you want to say something?
Well, yes. Yeah, so it says that they have 15 vehicles, and they're going to replace a third. So that's not every year. That's in 3 years, they've replaced their whole fleet. Is it a?
They only last 3 years.
Yeah, I'm still not sure understanding why it's target.
We should do it 1 year.
Wait.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the logic is as I explained. They do buy cars every year, whether they buy 5 cars or 4 cars, it can vary. But that's why it's target. If the legislature chose to make it one time.
No.
They can come back each year as they buy cars, and you can calibrate it to the number of cars they buy that year.
Wait a minute. Okay. Dan, you got anything else?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Okay. I have Martha, Carol, Anna, Peter.
Well, I'd like to make it multi-year, go 3 years. 1 year, the 1 year funding at but for 3 years, because I, you know, for one thing, the grant program that the state uses that helps us buy electric might change, et cetera. So this seems that it would take care of their whole fleet, and in 3 years, if they need to go again, then they come back to us. But I'd like to move that this be multi-year funding instead of target.
Is there a second to that, Anna?
Yeah, I second.
You're second. Okay. Discussion on Martha and Anna's amendment. Anna, go ahead, and then Carol.
Although, thank you, Martha, for bringing that up. I was going to suggest that only because part of the estimation of the turnover is because they're based on non-electric cars, which don't last as long. So, they have parts that don't last as long. So my suspicion is once they replace the full fleet, that will last them for longer, and I suspect they wouldn't be replacing some every year. I mean, that's just my thought about that they do last a lot longer. If, in fact, they don't find that to be the case in 3 years, we can revisit. So this will at least give us the gap, and in 3 years they probably will have the whole fleet converted.
Let me ask you, where are you getting the information that electric cars last longer?
I'll send it to you if you would like. They don't have an engine, you know, different engine system.
Happy to do that. I'm going to argue that point, but that's all right. I had somebody else here, Carol and then Will and Peter.
So are these vehicles that just 15 people drive so that on the days they are not driving them, that those particular 15 people aren't driving them, they're just sitting there?
These are pool car, DSS, they share their cars. Yeah.
Do you have any idea how much mileage we put on a car in a typical year, one of these cars?
These cars, no, Carol, I don't. I will tell you, and maybe a factor, we are trying to turn our cars over more quickly now than we used to, because we get such a good discount when we buy a car that when we sell them quickly, we get a good return on that sale, so it ultimately lowers the net cost that we pay for vehicles. So this might be considered in that context as well, the quicker turn of vehicles. But again, if the legislature decides to use one-time or multi-year funding for this, it will be fine.
Okay, and do we know, if we continue to turn our fleet over to electric vehicles, we are presumably saving on the gas the gasoline. So we're saving money depending on the particular car, thousands of dollars a year. You know, for me, any department that is willing on an ongoing basis to be making sure that their fleet stays up to date is intending to, in 3 years, I mean, right now we've got cars with a certain efficiency that are electric. In 3 years, you know, there's going to be an opportunity to buy cars that go further before you have to plug them in. So any department that's willing to do the work of, you know, plugging in rather than just pulling up to a gas pump, more power to them, and I think we ought to support it. We have to get there. It's when we heard the energy presentations, it was transportation was an area that is has great potential for helping us out on dealing with the. I don't see the need going away and the expense going away in 3 years.
Well, did you have your hand up somewhere,
Jim? There was a question. But you or Joe can explain how, when we commit to a three-year thing, how does that work? Because we're essentially committing next year's body to a budgetary decision. Is, right. is this just a recommendation, or is there something locking this in?
I don't think you're locked in. What we will do on the money side is put kind of a fence around the reserves. I mean, we will make sure that there's money set aside to make good on these multi-year commitments on the money side. So I do think it's a. I don't think you are. I don't think you've bound yourself. You're expressing your intent.
This side of the room, Peter, and then and I'm going to let Dave follow Peter, and then Dooley.
Okay, I'm trying to think of what I was going to ask. Oh yeah,
electric cars.
So a couple of comments. One is a question. Is the $8,375 the difference between the electric car and a gas car and a conventional car? Is that what that number is?
For multiple vehicles, for five vehicles after, because when we spend a dollar in DSS, we get some of that dollar back from state and federal grants. So this is the net cost to the county. It's the net difference to the county and the cost between a conventional vehicle and an electric vehicle for five of them.
It's five vehicles or one vehicle?
Five vehicles.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So it isn't that different. Okay. So that's one thing. Okay. I just want to comment on what a couple of people have said. I don't think there's any reason to believe that an electric vehicle lasts longer than a gasoline vehicle. Today's engines are so good, something else fails first. It usually isn't the engine that does. And everything else is on both vehicles. So that was my comment.
Thank you, Peter. David.
Thank you. I'm going to put my F and I hat on. Do we have plans to put in 15 charging stations at DSS?
No, because just like in mental health, we don't need a quick charge. So a charging station you want if you want to be able to charge your vehicles within 4 hours. That's not the way we will work them. We'll bring them back to the building and we will plug them in at night and we can charge them all night long. For that, you just need conventional plugs that will reach the vehicles. So we will be doing that at DSS as we are going to be doing it at mental health.
Okay.
Much cheaper way of dealing with that.
Okay. Dooley and Anna.
Is that me?
Yeah, Dooley.
Yes. Different electric vehicles have very different specifications. The speed at which they recharge differs. The designs are changing every year now. And I'm assuming that you're buying these off of state contract, but maybe you're not. Are you?
Well, this year, there's almost no such thing as state contracts anymore for a lot of things. This year, the state took the lead in doing group purchasing for us. Let's hope that they do that again next year. Otherwise, we'll have to go out on the market and bid and buy these.
It's my opinion that whatever dollar amount you're putting in here for a year may not be appropriate for a subsequent year because the models and designs are changing so rapidly and different manufacturers are coming up with. Well, there was an electric vehicle month, and there was a week in the city of Ithaca, and I don't know how many people went down and looked at what electric vehicles were there, but you can get them less, and they serve the little radius that our people have to drive in. So this seems surprising to me. You advised them to put in for this, it says in the write-up.
Yes.
They were going to cover this themselves?
Well, but if they did, they would have less money available for other things within their target. So we did encourage them to do that. Plus, we thought it was important for the legislature to kind of go on the record in support of what we're trying to do, which is converting the fleet to electric vehicles, that we thought maybe you would want to make that kind of a policy statement through an OTR like this.
Martha and then Mike.
So being
Anna, you're in there. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Anna. I have AIA. I don't know who that is. Go ahead.
I just wanted to point out and clarify and specify specifically the motor last longer in an electric car. So if I just wanted to clarify that and the duration of the car and why you replace it. And to answer your question, I sent you several links on that. And, Peter, I added you to it.
Okay. And to answer your question, it doesn't matter how the cars are powered in Tompkins County. It's the weather conditions that take the car down. In the wintertime, an electric car will rust exactly the same as a gas car.
It's a different issue.
What happens if you look at our fleet, some of our cars are terrible looking because of rust, and they have very low mileage on them. So, but I'm going to support this when we get there. Martha, Mike, and whoever.
Yeah, just quickly, that 3 years means that 3-year funding means that they don't have to come back to us next year or the year after asking for more money for this, but that it, at the end of 3 years, if they still need, if they're ready to buy more cars, they will come back to us. So I think this is a good way to do it without tying our hands.
Mike.
You know, it's painful to be the fly in the ointment on
basically every issue. I find it very difficult. But
you love it.
I just want to point out that as of right now, this county is not powered by renewables. It is powered by coal, pretty much. And that even though we are doing this with electric cars, we are not getting the benefit of the electric car. And as Joe said, we buy these cars every year. So my suggestion would be to not do this. But I tell you what, if we do become more powered by renewables in this county and we see the benefits of, you know, ecologically from electric cars, because we are getting our power from renewables, at that point I will definitely, you know, say let's go buy some electric cars.
Well, go for it. Gravity right Renewables now, is going to kick in next year. We're going to get our...
We
our,
have next year then. But those renewables aren't going to power this. They're not going to power
2017.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to play that little game that, oh, we're getting this much.
Well, wait. We're taking a break, and people are just going to talk randomly.
And one more thing I just want to mention. Okay. Just one more thing I want to mention. I have a 1967 Firebird and a 1972 VW bus, and they're both gas-powered, so we're doing pretty good on the lifespan
balance
of cars.
And I sadly got rid of a Mustang GT.
And
so,
it made us all sad, Jim. So.
Anyone else?
Who has a new car?
Well, what do we have? What are we voting on? Three-year funding. You have to vote. Okay. The resolution is three-year funding. All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand.
The amendment is
as three-year funding,
$83.75,
3 years to target.
We first have to make it 3 years instead of
that's what we're doing right
target?
Now.
That's what the amendment is.
Okay.
And then we're going to vote on the final thing. All in favor? Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It passes 9-5. I support it. Now we're back to the full main motion. All in favor of that new target 3 year? Raise your hand, please. Huh?
That it is 3 year funding.
Yes, 3 year funding. 3 year funding. All in favor, please raise your hands. Opposed. It passes 9-5. The opposed, please raise your hand. Peter. He was going like this. Okay. I can't believe we're going to have electric cars. I'm kidding.
Can I tell you about my
Elon Musk?
No.
Elon Musk is going to go to Mars, too.
I just replaced the 17-year-old car that did not rust out like mine.
He's going to be driving a Honda.
If we had food, I would ask for a break, but
what?
We don't, so let's keep going.
All right, here we go.
Point of information.
Yeah?
How long are we scheduled for tonight?
Until the end here, 8:30.
7:30,
aren't we?
Yeah.
Kevin?
That's what's written down. Yeah.
Louder.
I thought the norm for these was 5:30 to 7:30.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Oh. All right.
So it was till 8:30.
Well, you want to do one more?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do one more.
We took the abnormally long time on an $8,000 item.
Let's do two more.
Well, wait. Did Ken?
Mr. Chair, we've got two for you services. If we can just.
I'm sorry, Carol. I can't hear you.
Ken Schlatter make it?
He's not here.
Okay.
Wait, Dave, you talked to him more recently than I did. Did he want us to do it without him or to?
I didn't ask him that question, Carol.
Okay. Mr. Chair, can we just take
We'll do one more. What?
Mr. Chair, can we just take up the two for you services?
Yeah.
There are only two little ones for you services.
Yep, I'll do that.
Thank you. One is direct partnership, and the other one is...
Yeah, and that would be number 15. Chuck Tellis, More Youth Services, 2% increase for agency funded by Youth Services. That one? Someone want to move it? Anna, is there a second? Glenn, discussion?
No, go ahead.
I can just speak to it really quickly. I thought that there was a strong plea made for this, that the contractors that they've been working with have been held without a raise for many years, and this is an attempt to bring some of the contractors that they're working with, I think it was to a living wage, or at least you know, bring them up to a 2%, which we're offering the people within the county. So I'm in really strong support of it because they've been held flat for so many years, and it's put a tremendous strain. I think from what I recall, there were some contractors that they were potentially losing for other initiatives because they couldn't continue to work for that level that they were at. So I think this will ease some of that pressure, and it's a very small amount spread over.
I have a question for the county administrator. Joe, when we worked on the living wage issue years ago, we were dealing with, it was brought to our attention by Solid Waste, and we renegotiated a contract with Casella so that we could put that in and then put money aside. And this feels like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, many of those other contracts that were outside of what we did, and we were not able to do that and did not want to do it at that time.
Well, I'm not sure that this falls in that category. I'd have to rely on Amy to help with that, yeah. Whether the living wage is a part of this issue or not. I don't think
this actually is, and I apologize for that. I think the issue was that they were held constant, but I'll let Amy talk about it.
So this is not a living wage. They are all living wage employers. It's just more of they haven't seen a cost of living adjustment, and so our board felt that it was time to look at that.
And I apologize for that.
That's okay.
Okay. Comments over here. Martha?
Joe, you included a 2% increase for agencies, like the human service agencies, right?
Yeah, those that we contract directly with. This is really a pass-through. So there are a million contracts in our budget. DSS has contracts. All departments have contracts. Those all didn't get a 2% increase. Those agencies that we contract with directly, Human Services Coalition, TC Action, those kinds of agencies got the 2%.
These did not. Okay. And, Amy, how long has it been since they've gotten an increase?
Across the board increase, we haven't been able to do since 2010. Now, there have been component increases for some things, but across the board, we haven't done since 2010. Well, we had reductions in 2010. It was before that we were able to do an increase. It was probably about 2008.
Okay. So 6, 7 years.
We need any more on this. All in favor of this, please raise your hand.
I don't remember.
1, 2, 3, 5 on this side. 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1. Okay.
Oh,
somebody didn't vote. Dooley didn't vote. So it's... So it's 10-2.
It's 12-2.
10-2.
12-1.
Yeah, and one was out of the room. And the last youth services is down there. Anna Kellis, Youth Services, OTR 80, number 21. Go ahead, Anna, move it.
Yeah, I'll move it. And
is
I'd
there
like
a second for Anna's? Leslie? Talk about it.
Well, I can present it really quickly. I'm the liaison for the REC partnership. It's $2,561. It's not a large amount. And the amount is going to be matched by both the city and the town. So the return, our investment for such a small amount is 3 times. So if for that alone, I think that it's worth supporting it. This amount of money was identified and approved by the entire group of municipalities. So these are municipalities that have substantially less income than we do, and every single one of them supported it unanimously, and I'd like to support the municipalities' effort. They have all accepted an increase to allow for this. And this does not expand the programs of the REC partnership. All it will allow them to do is retain the existing programs that they have. So I don't think that they're being selfish in this at all. We spent a lot of time looking at this, trying to figure out if there was anything we were willing to cut. But most of the people on that board are parents. And every single one of them would have been affected by it. They were feeling it personally. They took it back to their boards. They got support from their boards. And I'd like to just support all the municipalities in that decision.
Anyone else want to speak about this issue? All in favor of this, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? It passes 14-0. What? You're voting no? We're not voting in the minutes of this meeting. It's $2,500. Okay. 13-1. We're done. Thank you very much.